Well, folks, I you know, at 25 years of doing this, I don't think I've ever started a sermon like this, but I'm going to give you a chance to get to know my friend. I have a friend. I've had a friend for a long time. This friend has been a friend for about 24 years, if my count is correct, and he is one of my favorite people that I get to talk to and spend time with. He and I have a lot in common. We were in radio together. We started there. We're Illini fans. We're huge Cubs fans. So we have a lot of similarities. The one thing I'm going to tell you about my friend, I will not reveal or release his name. There's a reason for that. This guy is one of the most positive, happy, jovial, glass is half full, in fact, glass is overflowing kind of people. And I love this guy. And whenever you're around him, you feel better because he's so encouraging and so positive. Now, let me tell you what happened and the reason I'm sharing this. My friend, as I said, is a huge Cubs fan. Last Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday, he was at Wrigley Field. Now, he was there to watch the debacle known as the Cubs getting swept, and in that particular game, a horrible thing happened wherein we gave up the lead and lost the game. Now, I didn't think anything about it until I got up on Sunday morning and saw a text from my friend. That's not unusual. What was unusual was what was in the text. Now, before I share with you the text, let me share why I share this. And the reason is because obviously we deal with things in different ways. And sometimes we deal with it well and sometimes we deal with it poorly. And so when I read the text, I said, listen, I need to ask you a question. I've already started working on the sermon, which is this sermon today. And he said, your text is perfect for this sermon. And so I said, if with your permission, I'd like to read your text. And he said, you're serious? I said, I'm absolutely serious. I said, I will not mention your name, but I want to read the text because I think it's a real image and a real glimpse of what we struggle with on a daily basis. With that said, I give you my friend's text on Sunday morning following a Chicago Cubs debacle. Here's what it says. Quote, I got to tell you, I was at Wrigley yesterday. To say I'm TO'd would be a massive understatement. I am really, really mad. I'm mad at Kimbrel. I'm mad at Joe Maddon. I'm mad at Theo and the whole front office. I'm mad at this whole Cubs team. It's like I'm grieving. I want this team to lose every game from here out. I want this whole organization to be humiliated. I am in a very bad place mentally and emotionally. End quote. Now, obviously, I felt like I probably needed to go spend a little time with this guy because, I mean, he's on the edge, right? This is not good. Whoever said anger is one letter short of danger might have been referring to my friend and his downtrodden dangerous behavior. It was bad. All right, so let's talk about anger. Obviously, we've started to talk about it here. Anger, what do we really know about it, and how do we manage it? Last week, we talked about time management. Today, our topic turns to anger management. If we have to manage it, then we must know that it is real, and we must fully and personally acknowledge it. So let's talk about it. Merriam-Webster's Dictionary and Thesaurus defines anger as a strong feeling of displeasure. Certainly in Merriam's dictionary, I think my friend's picture is right there next to that word. Anger is always an emotion, but it's not always a sin. Now, that might shock some people because normally, and I think regularly, we have been taught or at least educated that anger was always wrong. It was always bad, and it's always a sin. Instead of addressing it or the cause of it, in many cases, we choose to ignore it, or rather, we suppress it, and it only gets worse. I want to look at our sermon text today. Let's get right into God's word and hear what our Lord has to say about this through the Apostle Paul. This is Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, and if anger is a part of your repertoire, if it's something that you struggle with, I want you to underline this, highlight this, checkmark this, because it's important that we know this. Here's what Paul says. He says, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Now, if you have a New International Version or NIV, and if you're there right now, I want you to look at this because verse 26 might look a little bit different, but it accomplishes something that we don't want to miss. In verse 26 in your NIV, you have two separate things going on. Because Paul says in that passage, in your anger, here's one thing, in your anger, do not sin. Two separate things. Here's what we know. We know based on this passage and what Paul says is that anger can exist without sin. John Phillips once said this about that. He says, it is not sinful to be angry. Sometimes true holiness demands that a person be angry at something. But it is easy for Satan to push anger to excess. Be angry without sinning, says Paul. How? Philip says, by exercising a firm control over anger and limiting its duration. Righteous anger, says Phillips, if not curbed, can quickly curdle into a bitter carnal spirit, end quote. Now let's look at what Phillips says, because he uses two terms that are interconnected. One is true holiness, the other is righteous anger. These are two terms that initially do not seem to go arm in arm until we take a closer look at Scripture and identify and then analyze God's righteous and holy anger. Now let's talk about God's righteous and holy anger, because the Lord's Word talks about it a lot. As a matter of fact, over 350 times in the Old Testament alone, we find references to God's anger. The prophet Nahum said in Nahum 1 verse 6, he says, who can stand before an angry God? His fury is like fire. The mountains tumble down before his anger. David says in Psalm 7:11, he says, God is a judge who is perfectly fair, and he is angry with the wicked every day. God's anger, holy and righteous, was aimed at wicked kings and kingdoms, wicked people who worshiped and followed wicked idols, wickedness and sinfulness. This made God angry. You see, God's anger has always waxed hot against sin and disobedience and rebellion. In Exodus 32, we find the Israelites making a golden calf idol, the base of Mount Sinai, which was followed by the worship of it and the sexual immorality that was happening around it. God's response to Moses regarding this sin and rebellion, as recorded in Exodus 32, verse 10, sounds like this. God says, now let me alone, and my anger shall blaze out against them and destroy them. Why? Because of their sin and their disobedience and their rebellion. In Numbers 32, the Israelites' disobedience and trust in God's decree and directive to go into the promised land is recounted in this very chapter. And verse 13 issues the effects of this disobedience. It says, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until the entire generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed. Why? Because of man's sin and disobedience and rebellion. God's judgment upon Babylon. We would never want to miss this. Isaiah 13, 9 and 13 says this. It was a terrible day of his wrath and fierce anger. It was not only a prophecy for Babylon, but also a coming judgment upon the world that we live in. Why? Because of our sin and our disobedience and our rebellion. You see, while God's anger was manifested, we must note that it was also and always managed. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, he says, for God has not chosen to pour out his anger upon us, but to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love this passage for several reasons, but one of the primary reasons that I love this passage so much is it reminds us that God is in control, that he manages his anger and chooses where to put it. Many of us would say, I've tried to be in control. I've tried to manage my anger, and sadly, I get out of control, and it goes wherever it wants to go. Many people today are still struggling with this. Many people today understand this is a problem that they can't overcome. You see, God's anger is managed because he is in control. My question is, are we? Is our anger managed and is it controlled? Exodus 34, 6, Psalm 103, 8, Nahum 1, verse 3. Three separate passages that are interlinked perfectly for this one reason. They all refer to this fact. God is slow to anger. Now, regarding anger, while he manages it oftentimes owns us. And in many cases, we might say something like this: I get mad fast. I'm not slow to anger. It's fast and it's ugly and it's out of control. And it reminds me of just how dangerous it can be because I am a sinner. When I was a kid, I've shared this story before. When I was a kid, I was young. I was in preschool. 4 years old. That was the innocent years. And I was in preschool. And we were in this classroom, and I don't remember much about preschool. Sadly, I remember this. My mom and dad will never forget this. And it was milk time. I hate milk. So I was very upset that I had to drink milk. But okay. And so they brought the milk. Misty, I'm so afraid to even share this with you being a teacher. And so they brought the milk, and they set it before me, and someone said, "Now, Chad, would you like me to help you open your carton?" And I said, "No, I got this." And so I tried to open the carton, and it blew up and exploded all over me. And so I'm sitting there with milk all over me, and the kids are all laughing at me. And I get up, and in a fit of rage, folks, it only took a half a second, I start kicking chairs across the classroom. I go ballistic in the classroom. The kids are looking at me like, "Who is this kid?" Now, I never had any problems with kids anymore in that classroom. And when I got home, my mom and dad were waiting at the table, and they said, "Understand there was a situation today." Now, that was just one of many situations that I battled with throughout the course of many days. You see, this one hits home for me, and I'm guessing it hits home for others. If you struggle with anger, if it's out of control, if it's something that happens fast, we need to get control. Someone once said, your temper is like a fire. It gets very destructive when it gets out of control. Now, God is always in control. He and his son, just like we talked about last week, he and his son are ownership. And just like time, when it comes to anger, we are called to manage it. This is what he expects of us. Let me ask you this. Have we given them control? Regarding our anger, in many cases, we might say something like this: it owns us. We're a slave to this. We cannot get past this. Many people have lost relationships because of their out-of-control, unmanaged anger. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus, regarding his anger, always in control. Our Savior, like his heavenly Father, showed and displayed the emotion of anger without ever committing sin. He, like God, was simply angered by sin. Four times, Matthew 21, 12, and 13, Jesus angrily drove the money changers out of the temple. Mark 3, verse 5, number 2, Jesus displays anger toward the Pharisees for their indifference to hurting and deformed men. Mark 10, 14, Jesus was indignant or angry with his disciples when they tried to keep people from bringing children to him for blessing. And lastly, number 4, and in some versions you'll see this, in John 11, 33, at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus was actually angered by the people's hard hearts and unbelief. Jesus' anger was controlled and managed and righteous. It had a purpose. It was never selfish or hateful or evil or ill-timed. And since Jesus never sinned, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Hebrews 4:15 tells us this, since he never sinned, his anger was never sin. Is our anger sin? How do we know if our anger is sin? When I spilled milk on me at the age of 4 and had to face the scorn of all the kids looking at me as I'm bathing in milk, I realized that my reaction, now I see it, was actually a whole lot of sin. What is ours? Is our sin? Instead of managing it, does it own us? Is it sinful or is it righteous? How do we sin in our anger? Well, let's talk about this. According to Scripture, there are many ways and many things that in our unmanaged anger can give a foothold to the devil. We read that in Ephesians 4:27. So let's talk about those ways. One of the ways, first, when we anger quickly, we likely will act sinfully. James 1:19 says this: everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. God was slow to anger. But unfortunately, we fail in so many cases and instances to control our tempers. in Numbers 20, verse 11, and we're going to marry that passage with Exodus 17, 6, if you're following along in your bulletin, we find Moses. And again, you know the story of Moses. I mean, he leads the people out of Egypt in slavery, takes them into the, or tries to get them to the promised land, and the people are upset with him, and they're complaining to him, and they're belly aching about him. And so they're thirsty. And we're at this place in these two passages where God says, just go up to the rock, strike the rock, it'll pour forth water, and you'll drink. Now that was a quick fix. It was a simple fix for a big problem. But Moses had had it. He'd had it. He'd had it with the people, and he had it with the fact that they were sinful. So what did Moses do? Oh, he struck the rock. Not once, but twice. Now we look at this and say, man, he struck a rock twice. It's no big deal. But it was sinful. It was disobedient, and it was rebellious. And he was punished for this because Moses could not manage or control his anger. He was out of control, and in that moment, he did not do what God had told him to do. We've been there. How many people remember Cain and Abel? That's a story we all know, right? Adam and Eve's boys. Here's what we know. Abel worked the ground. He brought the animal sacrifice to God. Cain worked the flocks. Cain or Abel was the man who worked the flocks, but Cain was the guy who farmed. I always think about our farmers, and I think that Cain had to be pretty excited about bringing good crops. I look at us farmers, and you know, when you farmers bring good crops, you're excited about this. But Cain brings the crops. He brings the produce. He brings that sacrifice. Now keep in mind, Abel's sacrifice to God was good, but Cain's sacrifice to God, not so great. It didn't please God. But what precipitated from this was very interesting because it gives us insight on what comes next. As a matter of fact, as we read this, I'm going to go right here. Genesis 4, 5, it says, Cain, because of this, became very angry. His face grew dark with fury. Many people today would say, oh, I've seen that. Well, let me tell you something. God couldn't miss it because Cain displayed it. It was bad. But what comes next is even worse. God asks Cain in verse 6, Genesis chapter 4. He says, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face so dark with rage? And then he says this. He says, if you refuse to obey, watch out. Sin is waiting to attack you, longing to destroy you. But you, Cain, you can conquer it. You know what God's saying there? He's saying, Cain, even in your anger, you can manage it through God's power, his power, through, and today we get Jesus' power, and today we're reminded of the Holy Spirit's power that reminds us that we do not have to suffocate from anger. Rather, we can be victorious over anger. Cain did not. He didn't manage it. He couldn't control it. And here's what happened. He gave a mighty foothold to the devil. And what started out as anger turned into murder of his brother. You know, in Matthew 5, 22, Jesus actually recounts a little bit of this and talks about this as what anger can become if it's not managed or controlled. Folks, it can affect us. It can infect us if we're not careful. Sadly, hot tempers and godly anger, according to Cain, are ancestral. Many people would say, oh man, you got that right. My dad, woo, he was bad. My grandfather, bad, terrible tempers. Oh, we have him running it through the whole family. Bloodlines, terrible tempers. I hear that all the time. I get that. But let's make sure we understand this. This is biblical. This is ancestral. This is not something that's unique to us. We have seen this from the beginning of time with people who were sinful and rebellious. It has plagued man, and it has destroyed man seemingly forever. When we anger quickly, we sin oftentimes greatly. We're not managing it, rather, we are controlled by it. So how else do we sin in our anger? Well, let's talk about number two. You see, this happens when the target of our anger is not God-centered, but rather self-centered. You see, God-centered anger is aimed at injustice, unrighteousness, and sin. This human behavior seemingly always triggered God's anger. But sadly and weirdly, oftentimes it doesn't trigger ours. We don't get upset at sin. We don't get mad at sin. In fact, I think in many cases, we just give a pass to sin. In many cases, we embrace it. We like it. We welcome it. And all of a sudden, that becomes rebellion, disobedience, and sin. And so what happens is we ignore sin and we aim our anger at what annoys ourselves. Human mistakes. We do it, right? Don't we get angry at people that make mistakes? How many people have we hurt over the course of our lives? We literally get so mad because they just made a mistake. Human mistakes. How about human weakness? Where the human would say, I didn't mean to do this. But we get mad and angry and upset. What about this? What about misunderstanding? Misunderstanding. Bad timing. Bad driving. Your sports team losing, my friend, proved that. Bad weather. Anybody try to fill their car ups last January, February in that polar vortex? Did you stand out there and were you happy? God, I love this. My face is freezing. I love this. I remember getting mad at the weather. I don't like this. My daughter loves the winter. How dare she? If our anger is like God's, if it's God-centered, then it's targeted at these things. It's targeted at corruption. You won't like it. You won't stand for it. You will not embrace it. It's targeted at injustice, evil and wickedness, specific things like racism, sexual immorality, pornography, abortion, sin, especially our own. And let me tell you something, I hate when I sin, and I sin. When I get mad at myself. Man, should have known better, should have done better, could do better, gotta be better. Do you get mad at your sin? Do you get mad at sin? Shouldn't we not like sin? And what other ways do we sin in our anger? Well, let's look at verse 26. Let's go back there. Paul says, if you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. Folks, let's talk about this. When we hold on to anger and it becomes a grudge, let me promise you this, you will lose your edge. I promise you this. We don't manage it, and it now owns us. And this is what happens. It leads to unforgiveness. It is a bitterness that harbors in our heart, and it's hard to get rid of this. You see, if you were angry, if you are angry, and you have let the sun set on that anger, I assure you, it's now out of control. It's unmanaged. As verse 26 indicates, anger is not sin, but nursing or nurturing our anger until it becomes a grudge is. Timing is everything when it comes to anger. Holding on to it, nursing it, or even suppressing it is to be managed and controlled by it. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 8, he says, now is the time. I love that. We stop there and be like, all right, Paul, you got my attention. He says, now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger. Don't let it harbor. Don't nurse it. Don't nurture it. Do not let it become a grudge. When we go to bed, I would pray, when we lay our head down on that pillow, that we could go to our God in prayer and say, God, it's good because I'm not angry with anyone. And I thank you for changing me and helping me and making me repent and helping me to understand that I am one with your son. That's where we would go. But if we lay our heads down on our pillows and we say, I'm angry and I'm not going to get over it. In fact, I'm going to hang on to it and I'm going to take it with me tomorrow and the next day until it just continues to get out of control. It will be out of control. Anger can actually be good. But because we mismanage it too often, it becomes bad. You realize that Jesus healed a man when he was angry, Mark 3, verse 6. How can we do this? That's hard to do. God promised restoration to his people while being angry, Nahum 1:13. It's interesting because with the help of God and by the grace of God, if we allow him to help us manage our anger, he is holy and he is righteous and he is sinless, and his will can be accomplished by it and in spite of it. Anger can be good. It can accomplish his will, which is always good. As Harold Foos so aptly put it, the test of anger is what it produces. So what does our anger produce? There were like 14 kids that were never, they never wanted to talk to me ever again. They were terrified of me. I was the scariest kid in that entire preschool. Don't pour milk on him. We don't want to see what happens next. Scary stuff. That did not produce anything good. So what does it produce in us? The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible says this: God's wrath is an expression of his holy love. Is our anger aimed at what God loathes so we can attempt to protect the people and things that God loves? Anger is an emotion, but it does not have to be a sin. So regarding this anger, we must once again ask ourselves this: are we managing it, or is it controlling us? I'm going to read a passage from Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Folks, if there's a go-to passage in Scripture at Covell Community Church, this might just be it. We spend a lot of time here for reasons that are made known. But I want to read this passage because it says a lot about anger. And it doesn't even mention the word anger. There's a reason. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Here's what Paul says. I'll interrupt myself as I read. But when the Holy Spirit, here's your key word, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, here's your next key word, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish laws. Those who belong to Christ have nailed their natural evil desires to his cross and crucified them there. Don't you want to put anger there? Don't you just want to leave it there and not here? You see, folks, the reason I read this passage is because if we have these things, if we are controlled by the Spirit and we're producing these things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, I can promise you this, that means that God himself is in control. And that means that our anger is leaving us because of the relationship that we have with Jesus. And it's a wonderful way to test this. What are we and what is God producing through us and in us? Is it that kind of fruit? When people see you, do they say, man, I remember when you used to be nuts. You're not like that anymore. I get that a lot. And that's great. You see, folks, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us this. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Any of us who have struggled with anger would say, we want that new life to begin. Today, we have the opportunity for that life to begin. These holy attributes that Paul mentions in Galatians 5:22, these fruits, they destroy unholy anger. So let me ask you, are we hot-tempered? And do we anger quickly? If we do, then this is sin. Slow to anger were words that describe God and typified his son. Is our anger self-centered and not God-centered? If it is, then that is sin. Instead of focusing our anger on human weakness and human mistakes, let us instead focus our anger on Satan and injustice and unrighteousness and corruption and deception and sin. If our anger is given time, it can take over our life. And if it does, then that is sin. We must never let the sun set while our anger continues to rise. Anger, if nurtured, can give a mighty foothold to the devil. Does our anger control us? If so, we must relent and we must repent of this. Do not let the sun set while your anger continues to rise. Anger is an emotion. It can actually be a useful one if it's aimed at and doesn't become sin. So let me ask you this. How would God and Jesus assess us? What would they see in us? What does this anger produce in us. Folks, today I ask you this. If you struggle with this, if it's a real issue and a real problem, go to him. Trust in him. I believe this in 49 years of life, and there were some wild days at my house. In 49 years of life, I know this. I know that Jesus Christ can change lives. Anger is one letter short of danger. Let God take over this problem and allow him to change your life. We're going to go before the Lord with our pastoral prayer. But as we do that, a lot of people that need prayers. And one of them, and Jess said this perfectly, oftentimes, folks, we get so wrapped up in our own lives that we forget the lives and the struggles of others. You go to Shiloh Christian Children's Ranch or Bolivia, wherever you go, you can see that there are a lot of problems out there. A lot of people are dealing with issues. We're going to pray for them. There are a lot of needs that have been addressed. Many of them we've received. Folks, if you have a prayer request, make sure and give those to us. We will pray upon those this week. You can email them, fill a sheet out, give it to us. Whatever it takes, we will pray for them. And if you wish, you can join us here at the altar for pastoral prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today knowing that we sin, knowing that we're guilty, and knowing today that we must be forgiven. Father, I pray today that you would take away the evil that comes from this emotion, and I pray that you would remove the sin that precipitates when our anger is mismanaged and out of control. Father, I pray today, as we have learned through your reading, through your word, that we would understand that anger can be a good thing, but you've got to be the one in control. And I pray that you'll teach us to manage it by your holy word. Father, I ask today that you will bless us and help us, and help us to see if we are causing harm or injury or danger to others. Father, I pray that you will take over this thing that's inside of us, this mismanaged, out of control anger, and help us. Father, I pray today that you will help us to grow in our faith. I pray today that you will help us to see that we have a place on this earth to accomplish your great will and purpose. And Father, I pray that we will accept that challenge and responsibility today. Father, you've called each and every one of us to a special task, a ministry. And Father, I pray that we will accept that task and that we will walk through the door of opportunity that you provide us. For those who are struggling today, and we know there are many, those who are sick, those who are dealing with terrible diagnosis, those who are dealing with disease and sickness, those who are grieving over the loss of a loved one, Father, whatever it is, I pray that you'll help them and be with them and strengthen them. Remind us today, Father, that you do control us when we choose to believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that you'll be with every single mission program that we support, and there are many. And Father, I pray that you'll help each and every one of them. As Jess said, we must pray for them because we know what that can do for them. And so today, that's what we do. We pray for their strength and their sustenance. We pray that their ministry will be empowered by your holy word. And Father, I pray that lives will be changed there and here and abroad. Father, I pray today that you will make us active in ministry. And Father, I pray today that you will help us to grow in our ministry. Thank you for the wonderful opportunities to worship you that you've provided us with today. And Father, I pray that as we are about to disembark, leave this church, I pray that we will become the church. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to become slow to anger. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, we will stand and close with our final song. All right, so you're standing. We're going to do something here. This is going to take it's going to take an act of courage and bravery. I'm curious, how many people struggle with anger? Raise your hand. Justin, your hand went up really fast. Wow, really? Okay, isn't that amazing? Okay, so folks, I got to share this story, and we'll get out of here quickly. 1994, I was living in a small town, and I've shared this story before. Opal Faust will never let me forget this story, so I might as well just get it out there and let it be shared. I could not start my weed eater. It's one of those things you just keep pulling and you keep pulling and you keep pulling. Now, in 94, they did not have cell phones like this. So this is good. So I was in my backyard, neighbors all around, trying to start it. Would not start. My hand started to bleed. Would not start. finally, and it was coming, and I could feel it coming, and I knew, and it was out of control, and I take the weed eater, and I never knew, where, Libby's downstairs, I never knew that I could throw something so high, and it shattered and broke everywhere, and that wasn't enough. Then when it shattered and broke, then I kicked it, picked it up, and started beating it on the ground, and I realized at that point that I might just have a slight anger problem. So this one hit home for me, and so we're battling this every day. And for those of you who raised your hands and said, wow, that's a real thing, folks, it can be overcome. We are not what we used to be. Praise God. Look at Jillian. Jillian's like, Dad, I did not know. Did you know that story? No. Okay. All right. You're finding things out. We can be overcome, but let us let God overcome this, because we cannot, and I think we've probably proven this. When we try to control this, oftentimes we can't control this, but God can. Let's give him control. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for helping us to see our deficiencies and shortcomings. We all have them, and I pray today that you would help us to give them to you. Father, I pray that you'll teach us how to manage it, and I pray today that we'll take ownership of it, but we'll give you ownership of our lives. Father, today we raise our hands because we are ashamed of our sin, but we also realize that you have come, sent your Son to die on that cross for our sin. We believe in you, we trust in you, and we thank you for what the Holy Spirit can do for us when we believe in Jesus. And we ask all these things according to your will. Go with us. Keep us safe today, we pray. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.